I've been told that this is not for children. So if you are a child, stop listening.
So, yeah, so it was great. And I'm back.
Yay!
Not even 48 hours removed from getting back in the country.
He's on his game for sure.
Nope. Probably still a little drunk from the honeymoon.
Still.
It's been like a residual.
Well, from the wedding, too. Holy shit.
That was a fun wedding.
Wow, I was just finishing up listening to your guys' last episode with Chris and Nate, which, by the way...
Charles and Nate.
Oh, I'm sorry. I saw the CH and I was thinking my brother Chris for some reason. Charles and Nate, I'm putting you both on notice right now that when these two go on vacation, yeah, you're joining me.
They are fun.
And that, I was like, they did a great job. We actually listened to that first episode down in our cabana.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, at night, we sat down there listening to it. It was awesome. It was fantastic. It was great. I was like, Charles and Nate are great. Screw Ryan's List.
I mean, that's kind of what we thought when you were gone, too. Maybe we could just never go back to the basement.
Just replace it.
Yeah, because the sound quality was so good.
Oh,
yeah.
We need a new microphone.
But, no, they did a great job.
We need money from sponsors who can buy us microphones.
Or we could just buy one off of Amazon. They're pretty cheap.
Help me, I'm poor.
Yeah. Well, no, I'm glad to be back, though. And I know nine out of our ten listeners are probably like, shit.
But there's that one.
My new wife. She's going to be like, yeah, he's back. You know, so I got one fan.
You do. I'm sure you have more.
Oh, I'm sure Nate and Charles have listened to our episodes.
Well, Charles has.
Oh, really?
Nate? Well, he doesn't listen to anything, I guess, so I can't be offended.
Like, he doesn't take a shower and listen to anything?
I don't think he's a podcast person, but we could turn him, maybe.
Totally.
With our awesome podcast.
Oh, yes.
We just kidnap his cat until he listens to
That's true.
That's all we got to do. Just kidnap his cat. Yep. Like, trust me, I've made Ryan freak out enough every time he had me watch his cat. Be like, hey, Ryan, I put your cat in a plastic bag and hung it on the door. And that man, you have that panic face. And be like, what? Dude, I'm messing with you. I duct taped him to the door. You know how he is. I mean, he talked about couponing for like 20 minutes. I'm like, dude, shut up.
Oh, we should make an announcement that Ryan did get his $3.15 or whatever it was.
I did. It didn't work out for my vada. So.
I make fun of it, but I respect it to no end because of the fact that it's like very first time we went to Vegas and you're like, well, this is how much you owe me. And it was like $100. And it's like, wait, for 5 days for the hotel and food? And he's like, yeah. Like, okay, well, you know what you're doing.
That's how I roll.
So
that's how I roll.
But yeah, so I'm still a little bit on honeymoon brain right here, but that's all right. It's all good. I realized listening to the last episode you guys recorded with Nate and Charles that I was like, the one thing I forgot to do at the resort we were at in Jamaica was ask our butler, Steve. Steve, can you fill this up? Oh, he's not here. Oh, I miss you, Steve. But I wanted to, I should have asked them, like, hey, tell me some crazy Jamaican lore. And then I totally forgot. That was my fault. I should have been like, okay, tell me like a local legend. You know, it's like, I want to know. Like,
He tells you some horrible story that happened at the resort, and you're like, oh.
No. It's going to be something like, he's like, okay, well, one time 30 babies got eaten. It's like, what? No, I don't want to hear about babies getting eaten. But Ryan does. But yeah,
this is a story.
Baby ducks.
Well, to be fair, has anything? I mean, I know you guys recorded pretty close to after the wedding, which was good, which was great, and I loved hearing your drunk stories. Like neither of us remember the lift home, or part of the lift home.
Well, yeah, I remember part of it.
Did you?
It wasn't that.
I bet
far.
You remember paying for it. That's what I think you remember.
I remember calling it. Well, the thing is, when we got to the levee, and it was, you know, you're going, you're fine, and we walked to the first bar with without you guys, and we had a drink, but we were kind of doing stuff, and then you walked to the next bar. But then I sat down.
Yeah, what next bar? All we did was we went to the levee.
We went to another bar.
We went out, man.
Oh, yeah. You went to another bar and then came to the levee. Because I knew you were there. Yeah.
Bert and Jason?
Oh, my friend Jason, yeah. He's a great guy. I've known him ever since freshman really year of high school. He's a great guy. Yeah.
But then you get to the levee and you go upstairs because the music's not, I mean, cool. Music of the Night was fun, but I was just tired. I'm like, I need to sit down upstairs. But the trouble is, in the moment you sit down and start drinking your beer, you realize I've had about 20 of these.
Yup.
And that's like probably 20 minutes later is when we've called the lift. I'm like, I can't do this. Cannot do this.
And then I remember like dancing downstairs, and then I went to the bathroom and like I just ran upstairs and got you. Like, I was like, people I was dancing with probably like, is she coming back?
Nope.
Because they wanted your number.
It was Bert and Jason.
It was Bert and Jason. Oh, yeah. They came upstairs.
Okay.
Yeah, they came upstairs. They were up there.
I feel like I just bolted on them, and I hope they didn't take it personally.
Yeah. We went down to the dance floor on the levee for a little bit, but they were kind of, it seemed like they were about to take a break. I can't remember.
It was a good band.
Yeah, it was a great band. Levee's really got great bands. That's the reason we chose that as an after party. Yeah, we're definitely going back. We've done a few times, but here's the kicker. So the next morning after the wedding, you know, we stayed at the Marriott in the plaza.
Yeah.
And the next morning, like, we actually woke up a little bit on the early side. Because, you know, we're both excited. We're both like, you know, like, oh,
no,
yeah,
we saw posts. We saw times on Facebook.
I know. I was like, why are they? This was three hours ago. Why are they liking these photos?
We were up. We were just up. We were excited. And, you know, and it was amazing. And then all of a sudden the fire alarm goes off in the hotel.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it goes, meh, 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 meh. And all of a sudden I'm like, oh, shit, okay. And, like, we start pulling our stuff together and getting everything going. And I'm kind of, like, packing up stuff. And I'm like, there's a fire, some stupid kid. And I swear it makes me want to punch every teenager walking down that stair aisle and be like, did you do it? Pop! Did you do it? Pop! Did you do it? Pop! You know, it's like, because you know that's what it was. Because we went down the staircase like you're supposed to, you know, we went down the stairwell. And we were on the top floor. We were on the sixth floor. And as you're going down the stairway, I was like, I'm not smelling any smoke. I'm like, which tells me that some stupid teenager, some kid, pulled the damn fire alarm thinking it was going to be funny. And now we should all be able to publicly whip him. And so we all get outside. The biggest plus of it was, I got to say, it's like because a lot of our families and friends were staying at the same hotel. We got to see them before they left. I mean, because, you know, it's the day. I mean, we were leaving our honeymoon that Monday. This is Sunday when this happened, Sunday morning. And we got to see people we didn't think we'd get to say goodbye to, which actually was a huge plus, I got to be honest. I mean, it wasn't like we were dead asleep and got woken up. It was like we were awake.
Did you find out it was your own son that pulled the alarm?
No, Quinn wasn't there that night. No. He went back to his mom's house. So it was like they went back to the mom's so they could sleep in their own beds. I mean, it was kind of all these little hiccups we had were always blessings in disguise. I mean, that was one thing we got to see some friends. We're like, oh, it's great to see you. Thank you for coming. That kind of thing. It was perfect. It was great.
It was a good night. I mean,
yeah,
it was a good wedding.
We were dragging ass the rest of the day. That's for sure. Though, but
it was fun.
Yeah. Yeah. It was an awesome wedding. It was fantastic. So, so I guess we should get into it. By the way, I'm Joe.
Oh, yeah.
I'm Celeste.
I forgot who I was. I'm Ryan.
And this is
Verbal Distillery.
We're
going to talk a little whiskey, tell a little bit of a story. And this one actually comes from the honeymoon. I found this on the honeymoon.
Oh.
So this should be interesting. On the honeymoon. Should be interesting.
First.
But first, what's our first whiskey?
Ma'am.
Oh, me?
Yeah, it ain't me.
Jim Beam. Kentucky Straight Bourbon Whiskey.
White label. Yeah.
Okay.
We've done Jim Beam Black. This is Jim Beam White. This is the regular Jim Beam.
This is my go-to drinker. Some of you might gasp in horror, but I like it a lot.
She likes it. She's cheap. And I like that. Keeps us together. Yep. What is that nose? Sorry. I mean, I poured this. It's
okay,
been
can I just, let's yeah, just do this yeah. first.
Good. You
aged only 4 years. 80 proof by Jim Beam. I don't know how much we want to get into that since we've already learned about Jim Beam, Claremont, Kentucky.
Beam is a godfather of American whiskey. Yeah.
They
absolutely
are. They very much
since
are.
1795. They were interrupted by Prohibition, but.
Bastards. Not Jim Beam.
I mean, bastards. What can you do?
See, you could frickin' fight that.
Well, not now. It's too late.
Yeah,
Prohibition's been over, Ryan.
Well, Prohibition of alcohol.
You're still wearing t-shirts like, get rid of Prohibition! Ryan, it's been gone. We already took care of it. Quit holding grudges, buddy.
Well, that really pissed me off. I was like minus 50 years old.
I was about to say, you did not even exist. Color's a little on the weak side on this.
Yeah, but it's only a 4-year.
I do enjoy their bottle. It's a very classic design. Yep. Its bottle's got a bunch of ridges to it, and you know, it's very square. It's very rectangular. I'm sorry, not square, rectangular bottle. But
it's another one of those I think you'd find in an Old West bar.
Yes, it's very much they. Jim Beam, I got to give it to them. They kind of stick with a theme and they do it well, like as far as their looks
and their logo. I mean, they have their logo's
still
that.
Very classic. Oh, yeah. It's still very classic. Other than logo. Basil Hayden,
so we didn't like the whole monk thing, but
right. Other than that, yeah, the whole wrap it up over the top.
Everybody makes mistakes.
That's what she said. But yeah, I mean, like they keep the very classic look of a whiskey bottle. I mean, mm-hmm. like you grab the rectangular bottle out of the well, and
you're gonna find this everywhere.
Yeah. Oh absolutely. Yeah. Oh yeah. And sometimes for like. $14.
Yeah, I think I paid like 15, 16, yeah. something
it's
like that.
$10 to $20 depending on where you go. I mean, it's a range because some places are cheaper, some places are more expensive. But it's
probably
still...
already drank it. I mean,
yeah, you probably have.
But I guarantee you, most of you probably have not drank it straight.
No.
To see what it's worth. And again, color's a little light for me. It doesn't.
It's only a 4-year. What's that nose? It's almost like.
It's kind of sweet.
Yeah, I get sweet a sweetness nose. On. I get like a sweet corn on it.
Yeah, I think it's corn. I would say corn.
I'm getting hints of bubblegum in like all the whiskey recently, but it kind of smells a little bit like
bubblegum. Well, you did just have a stroke.
Stroke.
I promise you, if you ever hear Ryan having a stroke on this, we are just gonna carry through. The show must go on.
Yeah, I agree.
He's just going norm foot. All right, well, so what's next?
We're like, Ryan, that's the most hilarious you've ever been.
Yeah.
Talking nonsense.
I do get some oat. I do get like a grain on this.
Yeah, maybe grassy.
Whoa.
On the taste. But it's very smooth. I mean, like, quite honestly,
the toast is earthy.
Yeah.
To me.
Yeah. I mean.
For being only 4 years, this is drinkable straight, I think.
Yes, yeah. I agree.
I like it, so.
Yeah, I mean, if you go to a place where they have very limited selection and they have Beam. I think here's the deal. I would take Beam neat over Jack Daniel's neat.
Absolutely.
But I actually like Jack Daniel's and like Coke Zero more than I like Beam and Coke Zero.
Yeah.
Yeah. I personally would give a Jim Beam White Label a solid 4.5.
Oh, I'm going to give it a 6. I like it.
I'd give it a 5.5. Yeah. It's
nutty to the taste, and it's consistent, which is what I also like.
It smells kind of
nutty.
And
it's also not too simple.
It doesn't taste super nutty.
It's also not too simple, which is good, which I don't mind. I like that. So.
Tastes nutty to me, but whatever.
No. I mean, a little bit. It's in the earthiness. If you have a chance, if you're in Kentucky, I would go to Jim Beam and I would do the distillery tour. Because it's actually really good. You might have to pay for it.
I thought you were saying I would do the Beam.
Yeah, I would just do it. Do it so hard in the bunghole.
Wow.
All right. Well,
we can edit that out or not. We have mimes here.
All right, so we've got a special guest.
Not just a special, but a special guest.
It's Willa. No, no, it's my new wife, Megan. Is here. Yeah,
that's an exciting title.
Yeah.
Now that they're married, they do everything together. Yeah.
How long can you say new wife? When is that? But it just dropped to wife.
Like a year? The statute of limitations is on new wife?
She's a lawyer, if you can't already tell.
Current wife? How long does that last?
That seems to be implying.
It's up to you, Megan.
Yeah.
It's up to you. I am currently his wife.
Your choice. Well, all right. So the story I'm going to tell is actually one we found on our honeymoon. Like, I had a few other blocked off, but like one night while we were in Jamaica, was it on Facebook you saw this?
Yeah, I saw the video or the little tiny documentary, and I said, oh, I know this story, and I asked you if you'd heard of it,
and
you hadn't.
No,
so we watched the documentary together.
So, all right, so I'm titling this one, That's Just Twisted. And so the documentary we saw is called Twisted, and it's by Jay Cheel. It's about a 15-minute documentary. You can find it on YouTube.
Oh, short.
Yeah, it's short. It's very short. But basically what the story is about is in 1996 in Niagara in Canada. There was a drive-in theater. The theater was playing the movie Twister. We've all seen it. Bill Paxton, Helen Hunt. We've all
seen it. I like how you assume we've seen it.
Okay, normal people have seen
it. I've seen it. I have seen it. But
I've seen parts of it.
It surprises me because it was popular. And I know how you feel about popular things. We're like, that's just below me.
I was young enough to be forced to go see it, probably.
Forced Christina.
Yeah.
My mom forced this Pearl Jam t-shirt on me every day in school.
Every time I've seen Twister, it's been like on TBS on a Saturday afternoon.
Yeah. So, you know, there's the whole scene, like, there's some iconic scenes in Twister. Like, there's a scene where they even, like, quote Star Wars, and the guy's like, that's no moon, that's a space station. And, you know, there's big Twisters running down the highway. And there's a scene in Twister where there's a bunch of people at a drive-in theater, and they're watching a movie.
Yes.
And the Twister comes ripping right through the theater. So, in 1996 in Niagara, they claim that there was a drive-in theater. People were at the theater. They were watching the movie Twister.
Oh, geez.
And it was at this scene where the Twister, like, Helen Hunt's, like, looking out. She's like, oh, my God, run! And, like, the Twister rips through the drive-in. Well, as it rips through the drive-in, an actual Twister rips through this drive-in in Niagara.
I don't believe you.
That's what happened.
Well, I don't believe you.
That's what they say what happened.
Well, that's what they say would happen. I think that's just too ironic. It's
obviously Godzilla.
I mean,
they were really watching Debbie Does Dallas. Right before she got there, this Twister just took it all away.
Well, I mean, it's Canada, last more so, sets from there. You know.
In this documentary, I'm going to give a...
Gosh,
Ryan's jokes are long. Yeah. You got to let them just...
Long and hard.
You got to wait for it.
Your jokes feel like that old computer game Snake, where you just kind of like grab blocks, and the snake kept getting longer and longer. Yep.
That's my joke.
Get there eventually.
You know.
So in this drive-in theater, like they interviewed a whole bunch of people for. Like one of the first persons they interviewed wasn't even a guy who was at the theater. He was just like driving around in the area, and he was talking about the thunderstorm. There was a thunderstorm that happened. He was like, "It just got really dark," and we live in the Midwest. I personally have been through like.
Sirens were going off last night.
Yep. I've been through like 4 or 5 tornadoes. I had a tornado jump over my high school freshman year.
Jump over?
Yeah, jumped right over.
We were the tornadoes at our mascot at our high school.
Oh, you were? That was your
That
tornado.
We were
are,
the
you, are you bullshitting? Or are you
no, I'm seriously, okay. Anoka Tornadoes.
Okay, you kind of smirked there a little bit where he's like, does he have a coupon or doesn't he?
do you want to hear one of our fights?
No. Okay. Oh, you want? No, not now. But
no, not right now.
You can
I want to hear it later.
Put it on the Facebook.
No, I kind of do want to hear it was... now. I do.
Yeah, I do too.
Okay, here's how it went. So you had the cheerleaders, and they were cheering, and they go like this: T-O, T-O-R, woo, 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 T-O-R-N-A-D-O-E-S, tornadoes. And then everybody at the...
I like how you preface that, like, here's the cheerleader saying it, and I'm literally just picturing you saying it by yourself on the corner.
It was Ryan in the stands, like, come on, everybody!
Win, win, win!
No, it was...
He's like, I pitched it to them, it didn't take off, though.
So the first guy that you see on the screen, he starts talking about, like, how bad the storm was. Like, rain was coming sideways, got really dark, blah, 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 blah. One of the other people they interviewed was a Hank and Meryl McCreel.
What was the first guy's name?
Oh, Steve. Like our butler in Jamaica.
Yeah.
Steve. Steve! I need a drink. But so Hank and Marie McCreel, they were an older couple. They claim they have a very vivid memory of this happening. They were at the theater. And, like, Hank is, like, really passionate about thunderstorms. I mean, he's, like, talking about going, like, and I can't do his accent because it's, like, this kind of, like, I think he grew Canadian? Up in Germany and then came to Canada after World War II kind of deal. So it's, like, it's a very weird, it's a very different accent. But he's, like, oh, the clouds got darker. But I wasn't scared. I mean, it just got darker. Thunderstorms are beautiful. And, you know, I could see this and do that. And they had claimed they were... They just kept watching. They weren't worried about it and so forth and so on. Two of the other people they interviewed were two women. They didn't know each other. They were separate. But they both were kids when they saw this. A Sarah Lauren and a Genevieve Jones. Sarah Lauren says she was a kid when it happened and claims that even though she was younger, this is something you can't forget. She remembers the winds being very strong rumors of screens starting to come alive. Genevieve Jones was about 7 or 8, she claims, and her parents took them to the drive-in. She remembers being there when it happened. She remembers seeing the image of Helen Hunt in the movie. She remembers getting very scared and hiding in the back seat under the passenger seat when, like, the storm started picking up. And then they all kind of go to the same thing. They all remember, like, the movie screen, like, coming alive and just being
ripped apart. Like, wow.
And there were pictures in the documentary of the screen, and like
it was torn apart.
It was like tiles, kind of. The screen is built of a bunch of different pieces, and they were being, you know, they were turned off one by one. So there's like a few couple hanging there, and a couple still on it. And like this is, you know, this
theater screen was hit by a tornado. It was hit by a tornado.
Okay,
this is a fact.
Fine,
it was a fact.
I'll believe that part.
So they all claim that this happened, that this at some point that, you know, it just like tore apart the screen.
That would be terrifying.
So the next day.
If you were there.
Oh, yeah. I think that would be horrifying. But like the way they're talking about it, which was the surprising part. The way they were talking about it was kind of like, yeah, just, like especially like Hank. Hank's like, it was beautiful. Everything was so beautiful. The thunderstorm was so beautiful.
Well, if you remember the scene in the actual movie in Twister, you know, they're like running. I mean, at one point the lightning strikes and you see the thing.
Yes. It's like right behind it. Dark. Yeah, you saw behind
it. Because
again,
the movie, you know, drive-in movies play in the dark. And I even remember last night, you know, we had tornado warnings here in Kansas City, and there were... the sirens were going off at one point.
I have to be honest. I was like Hank. I'm like, this is cool.
We were sitting outside.
Yeah.
We were hearing the distance sirens. And then we heard the close ones. And I was like, okay, we're going inside.
And I'm like, are you sure?
but it's, you know, the National Weather Service was tweeting or whatever and saying like, it's dark out there. Don't wait till you see it. Just go take cover.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's like, so that's kind of part of the terrifying part of the whole scene is the idea that, you know, it could be like right there and you don't even see it because of the calm before the storm and everything, and they're running through and they're, you know, smacking on windows and trying to get people to get to safety, you know, so like that this is what's happening in this actual drive through movie theater.
Wow. Right. Yeah. It's a drive in, not a drive through.
Drive in.
I think a Mickey Mouse
drive through would be pointless.
Steamboat Willie was a drive through. Like, you could just get there. But so the reports the next day are all reporting theater playing Twister hit by a Twister. They are saying stuff like, this is an actual quote, a Twister hit a local drive-in that was playing Twister.
Well, people were playing Twister.
Whoa,
that would have been cool.
Thank you.
Good joke, green. Thank bad you. Joke yellow. Now that didn't play, sorry.
Cut that.
That was bad.
I don't.
Yeah.
Steven!
No, the colors on the pad.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you.
So you made a Twister joke and you don't even know how Twister's playing?
Well, I thought it was
I didn't get it either.
Oh, no, that's fair.
Traffic light or something.
It was a bad joke, for
I
sure.
I feel like I need to be here to just protect Ryan.
Thank you. They pick on me.
So, like, they had, like, the newspaper reported that. Even the TV news reported stuff, like a local theater where people got to treat, a treat last night because they were playing the movie Twister and got a real Twister.
Okay, here's the deal. I don't want to try to give anything away, but I'm not going to say anything. But it's curious the words you're using. Go on.
I agree.
Curious.
Thank you.
Ryan has a very high intelligence and henceforth ruins things for the rest of the audience.
Joe has a low intelligence.
I'm about to just start naming gummy bears and like talking about reindeers.
That sounds fun.
So, one gentleman they interviewed I wrote John Law, but then I'm like looking at this.
Jude Law?
No, I'm just like, that is an awesome name. I'm like, did I write this wrong? John Law. I mean, that's a very authoritative name.
Yeah.
But,
let's talk about that.
He flat out said, what?
What?
I said, let's talk about that some more.
Oh, John Law.
He said, ass more. It's like,
let's
what?
Talk about ass more. We should. But anyway, continue. How much did you drink while they were upstairs?
I mean, look at that bottle.
It's pretty full. I mean, you've got the giggles.
I'm like a schoolgirl.
Anyway.
Yeah, go on. Sorry, school
be
child.
More like a Catholic schoolgirl.
I don't know what that's supposed to mean.
Loose?
Oh, what?
Megan.
What?
I was blaming her on the She's the only other girl here, so I was saying that she said it, not me. Move
on. All right, so this reporter starts talking about the wording, actually. And he's like, he says he wasn't, of course he wasn't there when it happened, and he isn't saying people didn't see what they say they saw, but he is certain a movie was not playing at that time.
Oh.
Yes.
Because?
So, because he interviewed the drive-in employees.
Oh.
So now come in the drive-in employees. Yeah. We have Ann Adamanuki.
Nope.
Mm-hmm. Pronounce that one for me, please. I'm sorry.
I'm not sure, but it's not Anna Manuki.
Atamananiki?
Let's just call her Anne.
Anne. Mm-hmm. And then Sunny. There's Anne and Sunny. Anne was the manager at the time of the drive-in theater, and she was working that very night when it happened. And that's even record. That's like, you know, they have time, punch cards, all that crap. Like, she was working there that night. She says at one point it got very dark suddenly, like storms do. People were coming in, talking about how strong the wind was. Sonny was handling the booth they have, like when the cars are pulling up, like the
ticket booth.
Yeah, the ticket booth. He said it was a typical night, and they weren't expecting any storm that night, and they were just going about getting everything ready to open. He was working in the box office that night.
Wait, I thought you said there wasn't even a movie that night, but now that
Well, wait. And he saw the sky turn purple and knew something was coming, which you're right. Like green, purple, those are your big warning signs.
Not blue or gray.
Yeah. He says the wind was coming in, and then all of a sudden, like, the wind was coming in so hard that the only door in the box office, because it's like, it's just this big, like, you know, telephone booth thing. Yeah. He's like, he could barely get it open. I mean, barely get a crack out of it. He said the wind was coming in so hard. He had never experienced anything like that. And those doors were pretty heavy duty. Anne says the power went out, and the next thing she knows is the outside staff comes in and says the screen is gone.
Hmm. Gone. Okay.
Yeah, gone. Sonny says the same thing, that they lost power. He said that they both did say that, Anne says they decided to close early after that and no movies played that night. Steve.
Cocktail.
But, so.
That's funny because you were calling him Kevin for most of the time.
You finally got it right.
All
right.
We had one guy. His name was Tevin. And, like, I kind of like Tevin. Kevin. Trying to remember his name. Thought Kevin. Steve. It was all. They were all. Ah. Mm-hmm. And so. So Sonny says that they were actually scheduled to play the movie Twister that night. But not on that screen that got destroyed. It was going to be played on an opposite screen. So they went back and they were asking all these people, those same people, like, Steve Taylor was just kind of like, he was like, he just remembers the storm happening. And like the way this guy talked about it, he was like trying to be like authoritative about it. Like he's like, cumulus nimbus. Well, that's dangerous. When I see a cumulus nimbus, that's dangerous. And it's like, they did not say he was a meteorologist. Yes. I just don't know. He just talked with like some sort of authority. It was weird.
He just liked clouds.
I think they kept him in because, like, the last line of the documentary was from him, and it was pretty funny, and I think that's the only reason they kept him in. I'm not going to say the line. You have to watch it. You have to watch it. That I'm not giving away. You have to watch it, and the last line in the documentary is his line, and that's why I think he's in. Hank and Marie swear that's what they saw. They were there. They said they were watching the movie, this and that.
Mandela effect.
We do get into that a little bit, but we're going to touch on that in a little bit here. You're right.
Did they say how quickly they interviewed them, or like?
Well, this is many years. Like this documentary was.
It was
just
1996
recent.
When it happened.
Yeah, and they just
and
they
this
just,
is a recent documentary.
Yeah, but they had newspapers reporting it. So, like, did the newspapers just take people's words like the day after, or was this like a week later?
Remember Ryan mentioned something interesting. Ryan mentioned a theater that was playing Twister. The papers didn't technically lie. That was a drive-in theater that was playing the movie Twister. They didn't say.
But all of these people had very specific stories.
Yes.
Like this one girl was like, "We went there. We were watching the movie. I remember seeing Helen Hunt. The Twister came through. I was hiding under the passenger seat. Like
Well, I mean, they it's all... funny you should mention that. It's funny you mention it. In the documentary, when they re-interviewed her, she did kind of change her story. That was Genevieve. Genevieve Jones was the one who mentioned about hiding in the sea. She said that she remembers it just taking out the entire movie screen. And she says for the longest time, she had convinced herself that, what they were seeing and what they experienced was true. But at some point, she did ask her mom. She was like, Mom, was like this is what I remember happening. I remember us watching this movie and the screen being torn apart. But her mom said they weren't actually there. Hmm. Her mom says she was like, I had this such a vivid memory. How could we not have been there? And her mom says they were coming back from Virgil. I'm not Canadian. We don't live in Canada. I don't know where that is.
It's in Canada.
Yep, it's in Canada somewhere. So they were coming back from someplace. And when they drove home, they did pass the drive-in and they saw the damage, like as they were passing by.
And I have a picture I'll show you guys.
Oh, yeah.
You can look up. It's called the Canview Drive-In Theater.
Yes.
You can Google it and find the picture of what the screen looked like.
Oh, yeah. That's yeah.
Yeah, it got hit by a tornado. It definitely clearly got hit by a tornado. Yeah. But these people, so Genevieve clearly is kind of admitting, she's like, okay, I was a child. Fair enough. That's fair. Hank and Marie... They swear it happens, especially Hank. Hank is livid about it. Hank says he saw the screen getting torn apart. Hank, he doesn't think he invented anything. And they both still claim what they saw happen. Hank says he loves thunderstorms, which I made abundantly clear, and so did Hank if you watch the documentary. And they are nothing to worry about because they remind him of the bombardments which he experienced in Rotterdam.
During World War II.
During World War II. Yeah, during the war.
I'm like, W2. Okay.
I just want to know. I just assumed you people had history class.
No.
You had no idea what that city was.
No, I had to watch the documentary very closely because he starts talking about the bombardment. I'm like, I don't remember Canada being bombed. I don't think most people care if Canada got bombed. No offense to Canada, but it's like, maybe Canada did get bombed at some point. I don't know.
I thought they were neutral.
And then he goes Rotterdam, and then I'm like, World War II. And he talks about he starts telling this story about he's in Rotterdam driving down this road with his dad. And, he's, seeing the buildings burning and falling apart on all sides of them and stuff because of the war. And, he literally says, he goes, I remember seeing that. And I remember telling myself in my head, you need to remember this. You need to never forget this. And always remember it.
Didn't he talk about, taking a mental picture?
A mental picture, yes. He's like, I took a mental picture. And he goes, and that's what I did that night at the theater. Mm. And it's you get into a lot of different things about that. So I think right now is the time to take a break because we're going to get in a little bit about memory.
Interesting.
What? Yeah. There's some studies we're going to look at. And a few little
holy
things.
Holy cow, you're going scientific on us?
Yeah.
Do I get to try some whiskey?
Yeah.
What are we getting into?
We are going to... sample some Booker's, which just happens to be another Beam product. They're conversing about something. I have no idea. It's in secret.
I think it's about their story.
Okay. I won't listen. Cut this. All right. So Booker's is basically barrel-proof Jim Beam. So we tried Jim Beam before. Now, Booker's releases, I think, 6, maybe 8 batches. I mean, it depends. It's roughly 6 or so batches a year.
They all taste very different from each other.
They do. And they're all now, I mean, they used to have different codes on them, but now they have different names. So this is...
And pictures.
Yeah,
they now pictures. Put a little illustration on the label.
This one's called No Secret because, well, it's N-O-E because Fred No and Booker No and the No family is part of the Beam family, and so that's why they call it that.
Don't ever ask them for a gift, because they're just going to go, no.
No. So, this is a barrel proof. This one is 6 years, Joe's pouring, so I'll let you. They're usually around 6 to 7 years old. This one is 6 years, 8 months, 7 days. They tell you exactly.
So pretty young for.
It's pretty young, but it's a barrel proof.
Weren't there older ones? Were they not like older age wise?
Well, I mean, like their special releases are old.
Yeah. Well, I know the special releases, but like the Booker's, like in the past,
were always some are maybe about 6 to 7 years.
Okay,
that's
okay.
About all they do. I mean, because I think Beam, like the Beams, have said that even I think like Jimmy Russell too of Russell's Reserve and Wild Turkey. I think a lot of those guys like their bourbons 4 to 8 years. They don't like them super old, by and large. So this was named. So this is Fred Noe saying this. He said that this was named in honor of his dad, Booker. And his honest approach to creating the recipe for his namesake bourbon. I mean, apparently Booker always spoke his mind. He kept no secrets, hence the no secrets, when it came to his whiskey. They claim that this batch has rich flavors of vanilla that Booker's bourbon is known for, along with a hit of cherry and a warm mouthfeel that opens to a long, smooth finish.
God, so many jokes.
And actually, this was selected at the New York Whiskey Fest as part of the Booker's Roundtable. So there's one batch every year that's part of the Roundtable, which is basically the select of the select.
Right, like Chuck Crowder, Crowdy?
Cowdery or whatever.
Cowdery, yeah. Chuck Crowdy, he writes some pretty good books. He is always on that Roundtable.
Yep. And, so you have a bunch of whiskey aficionados that basically get to do it. And so this was picked in 2015. And the round table is supposed to be basically the best of the entire year.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, they pick through the whole table. But they only have one round table every year.
One round table every year. Okay. So, this one is actually fairly common. Now, there is some controversy because in the last year or so, Beam was going to raise the price to about $100.
Oh, I remember that. And everybody went nuts.
Because it's around 50 or 60 normally, and they wanted to raise it to 100, and people said that's insane because...
You're Beam. You have Beam. So much juice.
And it's only like, 6 or 7 years old. Yeah. It's very good, but it's not $100.
What does it mean when you say that has a lot of juice?
That means they have a lot of product. They have a lot of Beam barrels, a lot of whiskey. They're such
so it's not super rare.
It's not.
And that's why people got upset by it. They were just like, wait a minute. Yeah. We understand you want to have multiple lines. Like, they've got, like, their Jim Beam white label, which is extremely, like, I mean, you can get that at any little dive liquor store. And then you've got, like, Booker. They want to have, like, their more select group. And to try to be more selective, they figured instead of, like, cutting back how much they release, they were like, well, let's just raise the price. And the whiskey community went, that's ridiculous. That, and they didn't just be like, let's raise it by a couple bucks. They were let's go from $60 to $100. And people went nuts. So much so that Beam heard and were just like, okay.
They did for a while, though, didn't they? Because I remember...
Some places did.
Yeah,
because I remember seeing, like, $99 for this thing, and I was like, what?
But that's like those stores that get one nice bottle a year, and that one nice bottle... Like, I just saw somebody post somewhere on Facebook saying that they were in some liquor store, and it was a decent-sized liquor store, that, like, they had Weller Special Reserve, which... Sorry, folks, it is common.
Yes.
It is available out there. Stop treating it like it's a rare bottle. And like they were like, you can only buy this bottle if you buy at least $30 and some other sort of whiskey.
Yeah, which is stupid.
Yeah, it's stupid.
Yeah. So, but what is funny is actually Booker's, even though it's fairly common, I have seen, and I put that as the rage because we want to tell you how much the average retail is. Honestly, it's I've seen it. I've bought bottles at $50 still in the last year, but I've also seen bottles at around 40. 80. No, 80.
Yeah.
I'm not kidding you. $79.99
In the retail store.
Or in a retail store. In a retail store.
Yeah.
So it's all over the place.
Retail stores, especially the smaller ones, have gotten a bit just unrealistic about their pricing. It's just gotten a little out of hand with some of
them. And this is not. I'm sorry. I love Beam products, but this is not $80.
No,
this is $50 to $60. It's what it is.
I remember like
a round table is worth it. I would say a round table is worth it, but the other batches can kind of be hit or miss.
Yeah, like I'd be like the other batches. I'd be at like the $45.
Yeah.
Now I have to be honest. I do have a side story about Booker's. When my wife and I first started dating. She went to our liquor store, the one that, you know, I know, and she went, she's like, okay, so I'm seeing this guy, he's a whiskey guy.
And they asked her, and she's asking them, like, you know, hey, what should I get? Because, like, she wasn't like, well, let me, like, the best of the best whiskey. She's like, let me just get something that you think somebody who drinks whiskey regularly would get. And sure enough, she got a Booker's. And I was floored. I was like, what?
Didn't they get a round table?
You did get a round table, I think. You did get a round table. You got the round table Booker's.
They were like, how important is this guy to you? Is he, like, this important? Or is he this important? And I was like, go for the expensive one. I don't really know how important he is, but I want to impress him. So.
And it was amazing. It was amazing. I was like, oh, I was just floored.
I remember that bottle. That was a good round table.
That was a good, yeah, you did try some of that bottle. Yeah.
How much that wasn't you? Meant for you, Ryan.
How much did you pay for it?
Yeah, that's a good question. Yeah,
I want to say it was between 50 and 60.
Yeah, yeah, okay, so it's about on average. Yeah,
that's what I remember thinking, is. Like, is he $50 or $60 worth? Yeah, well, okay. I have some money. It's fine.
So first, before nose, is delivery, look of the bottle, I think is fantastic.
And it usually comes in a box. I hate it. I didn't
There is one aspect I don't like, but I'm curious to hear what you don't like.
I hate all of it.
Really? Yeah.
Really?
I like the wax top. I like the smooth bottle.
I like the box like on the shelf, too.
I like the bottle shape, but I would never buy this.
I kind of like that. It's like a thicker wine bottle. I don't like the Booker's label, where they have this like whole paragraph. It's like Booker's written in cursive, and then a whole bunch of stuff underneath where it's just like, yeah, I'm never going to read that.
Yeah.
Well, but you read the, like, 20 stanza poem on that other whiskey.
Oh,
on
the Chakura? Yeah. Well, that's because, like, if you put a novel in a bottle, I'm going to pay attention. You write a paragraph, I'm like, I don't really care.
I like the green label.
I do like
the stickers of the batches. Yeah.
Yes, the green label that Megan is mentioning is the batch. Like, they put a different batch. Like, some are different. They're all different colors. They got a little illustration. So it lets you know the specific batch of this Booker's. But I love the wax with the wax going over the little B Booker's with the ribbon coming off of it. I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah. I really want to, like, pull on that ribbon and, like, peel the wax apart.
And then all of a sudden it's like, thank you for being the first person. You will now get Jim Beam products free for the rest of your life.
Oh, wow. Do it, Megan.
It's like national treasure. You know, it's like you found that'd the secret cool. of the secrets. Yeah.
So, okay. So nose is definitely strong because it's a...
Yeah, you barrel get proof. A kick on it. Yeah, there's a kick on the nose.
Really?
Yep. I'm sorry.
Tell us how you really feel.
Sorry, I do.
To me, it smells like Beam, but
can
like
you even smell it?
In your face.
Strong? Just straight alcohol to me.
Megan is normally a wine drinker.
I still get that
earthiness.
I am
drinking wine right now as we speak. That's like my palate cleanser between whiskey. But I do remember actually when I bought this for you. You were like, oh my gosh, it's so sweet. And then, like, you drank a little, and then at some point soon thereafter, you brought another bottle of whiskey over, and I was like, you know, like, the one I got you. And you were like, if I drink this, like, all the time, I'm going to be hammered.
Right, because it's high proof. It's
I didn't know the difference, at the time.
Yeah, I was just worried. It's like, listen, if you just want someone going, like, hey, Brilly, you're so pretty.
Well, you say that when you're sober, so.
That's true. But I'm just saying.
This one is. Yeah, this bottle is 64.05% alcohol, so it's pretty.
Is that like super on
it's
the
barrel proof.
I mean, the highest I've ever had is 70.1.
Was that a GTS?
No, it was Elijah Craig.
Clear.
Oh, it was Elijah Craig barrel proof.
Oh, I love
that. Oh, was that the devil bottle?
The hazmat. No, the hazmat.
Oh, it was the hazmat.
Wait a second. Who's drinking something called hazmat?
Have you reviewed that one?
Over 70%.
No. So hazmat is called hazmat because it's so high.
You can't bring it on a plane.
Yep.
Above 70% alcohol.
Yes, you cannot bring this whiskey on
So it's
a plane.
Like a designation of a level of alcohol.
Yeah, it's a bomb.
Yeah, it's like hazmat.
You like
if you smoked around it, it would
Molotov cocktail.
I'm telling you, when I open a hazmat, I still have two bottles, and I'm really, gosh, it's so good. I love the hazmat.
I know you do because you're a sick bastard.
You like high proof.
Oh, but no, but that you see that 70.1 is not hot at all. Like I'll have Elijah Craig Barrel Proof that's like 60%, and it burns. But 70%, it was like this is so smooth. Joe just poured the rest of his into my glass.
I apologize.
So that tells you what
Who's
he thinks of
driving home tonight, by the way, guys?
Ryan.
Probably.
I was drunk 7 hours ago.
I'll I'll just pour some back in.
That's fine. I have had numerous bookers, and you guys know I even had so many bookers that I used a lot of the wooden boxes, and I made like back when I had my Kanto, you know, I made like this little like thing just hang on my wall. This is, I gotta say, this particular batch is probably my least favorite. It is just, it's pure burn to me. Really? It's like I get a hint of vanilla and cocoa bean. I get
a little bit of cherry.
Nah, I don't even get any cherry. I get a little hint of cocoa bean, but it's pure burn to me. I'm not a fan of this batch.
I don't like the smell, but it tastes pretty good.
Yeah, the smell is like, it smells too pure. I mean, it smells like, it does kind of smell more like alcohol.
I will say with a lot of bookers, I do like higher proof.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But I will say with a lot of these, especially I would say from about this time on, I don't get as much complexity out of the old ones from like before 2015.
Mm.
I think, and I've had a couple of those. There's one, I don't remember the code for it, but there's one. Don't you dare do that.
That was a hiccup internally. Sorry.
There's one round table from like 2014, roughly.
Oh, the C9. Yes, oh my gosh. C9 is amazing.
That one, I feel like they probably took the 25th out of that one, too, somehow. Like, it's just so good. It's so good.
That C9.
And I think that was honestly one of the first, literally, I had the first bottles of Booker I ever had. Yeah, I think it ruined me because I thought, oh my gosh, these are all going
to
be so good.
Yeah. This one tastes super, this is super burny to me. I don't like it.
Yeah, I mean, you got to feel the burn, but that didn't work out. Yeah. So.
Can we stop talking so I can open this?
Yeah.
I want to try a piece of chocolate.
She's going to try a piece of dark chocolate, 85% cacao. With this. Here you go.
We're just sitting here judging you.
No, because he poured out the glass I was sipping out of.
Well, we're going to have him.
Nope.
You want to try it? She wants to try some.
With chocolate.
A little bit.
I'm probably going to hate the chocolate, too. Like 85%.
Yeah, it's not sweet. But we don't eat sugar.
This is our sugar.
We're robots. We don't eat sugar. No. We run on pure gasoline. Obviously, drinking on pure gasoline. I could start my car with this. My truck, I should say.
Get her a water.
Yeah, Ryan just turns around. He's waving. Here's the water.
Dude. Your wife.
Go grab it.
It doesn't help. It doesn't help.
The chocolate is not good. And then when you combine it with the whiskey, it's terrible.
I feel like chocolate a lot of times brings out the cherry and the oakiness, but this, not so much this time. Sorry.
I feel like you just did that to mess
with me. I did. I brought the chocolate specifically to try with these whiskeys.
I love dark chocolate.
I've eaten their chocolate, and it tastes like tree bark.
It tastes more like mud than tree
bark. You get used to it.
You know, tree bark is like light.
Yeah.
You get very used to it.
Tree bark's like tapas. This is like
a $2 steak.
Yeah. You should
have brought their present.
The present?
A present. Ryan's got a surprise.
Oh, yeah. That's...
But we didn't think you were going to be here, so we didn't bring it.
Yeah, I didn't bring it.
No, I was supposed to be in Phoenix.
Phoenix.
But I'm not.
Which is awesome!
That's great.
All right.
That was so sarcastic. Yeah, that was great. Great you're here. We love it.
I'm
so happy.
No, it kind of sucks that they just got back and she had to leave again. Yeah. I mean, that.
We were very happy to find out that what the case settled. So.
Oh, yeah. Wait. Not good with chocolate.
No, don't do that.
Ryan just sniffed back like a bee attacked his face.
I feel a little bit better that my reaction wasn't completely amateur.
No.
But that was disgusting.
Wow. Yeah, no, that's not good with chocolate. Sorry.
I can't comment on the taste of this.
What are our scores?
This smells like urine.
Oh, yeah.
Megan, you start on this.
I'm going to give it a hard 0.7.
Dang, Bookhurst, you need to step your game up. Son,
well, she just doesn't drink whiskey, so there you go.
I'm gonna give it a 4. Yeah.
Oof, I'm struggling to give it a 3. And again, I want to reiterate, I really want this to be known. This is this specific batch.
Yeah.
Not all bookers.
Like, what is the batch?
Okay, this batch is 2015. It's called the
No Secret.
The No Secret. It's got the little, it's green label with a little illustration of a bottle with a note in it. That's, and I want this to be known. This does not, I mean, we are going to be probably reviewing bookers for forever for because they are all so different. Mm-hmm. And I have had so many good bookers. I hate to say this is the least favorite one I've ever tasted. And
it's not my least favorite, but I can see where you're coming from.
Hard three. Yeah.
Hard three. Answer you.
3 inches?
Thank you. Somebody got it. I don't know why I looked at Megan. That
was horrible. Do not make eye contact with Megan.
I'm sorry.
That is the number one rule for you.
I'm just like silently shaming everybody when they make the two, you know, the 2 year old potty jokes.
That's not even right. Two.
Actually, that was a pretty
that's
bad.
13 year old.
We love those. Now.
Second grade.
Get used to it.
Fine.
I feel I have grown through I'll this give it podcast a enough, and you two
no,
need to step up.
We've regressed.
No. That's definitely not true.
I give it a 5. I give it a 5.
Thank you, Ryan. Thank you.
Beam, regular Beam is a little bit better. I mean, regular Beam is just a little more drinkable.
Yeah.
I mean, you could try ice with this, but we don't have ice, so.
By the way, in your notes there, Celeste, does it say that the previous one you reviewed is called Whiskey Beam?
No, it's just the number one.
Oh, I thought it said Whiskey Beam White Label, and I was like.
Yes, Megan was not here when we reviewed our first whiskey recording, and then.
Now she's here.
Yep. Yeah. But I do give this chocolate a solid ass.
I think it's good. But
no.
Well, you guys also.
It's an acquired taste.
I
yes. It's
you know what? Tree bark is a required taste.
Completely. If you hadn't fingered this so much, I would eat this.
But oh.
Fingered. Wow.
Stop it right there.
This is going to some dark places.
Yeah. It really is.
Ryan is losing his shit. See, this is why he likes high-proof whiskeys. It's like, I can just get drunk faster than everybody else.
He's never this giggly. What's the matter with you?
Yeah, do you have some edibles?
I don't think so, okay. But no. He didn't share if he did.
Yeah, he has been super giggly tonight.
I'm just happy. It's the end of the semester.
Oh! He's about to go on summer break.
No, I have to teach.
Stress is
all
finally
summer.
Off.
Oh, okay.
But he doesn't care about those classes, so it's fine.
I do care.
Oh.
It's genetics lab and cell bio lab.
It's summer classes. Who cares about those?
I do. I'm okay. Making them even harder now just because you made...
So, I don't care.
All these students are
so
gonna,
to... You know,
sorry, students.
Dr. Elson Peters, future students.
You're screwed.
If you hate his pop quizzes,
yeah.
Take it up with Celeste.
Yeah. Also, I do appreciate that somebody has addressed me as a doctor on this podcast.
Oh.
So now she's my favorite person ever. Just going to throw that out there.
He's not even listening.
No, he isn't here.
I don't even know how to segue into what we need to be talking about.
Just, right just go. We're going
you
long.
You just go.
Yeah.
So anyway.
Yeah.
Anyhoot.
So anyway. So, all right. So let me ask you guys real quick. How do you perceive your memory? Like, what if you can, like, contextualize it in some sort of... That was a dog.
Sorry.
Yeah, it's fine.
We're babysitting our brother and sister's dog. So
can't
or no,
we don't have the same brothers and
right.
sisters.
Right? Yeah.
Can I call her really quick?
Yeah, go for it.
Willa.
She's only.
She missed seeing their dog out the window.
Willa.
Okay. Sorry.
Okay.
Are you gonna go in, like? Okay, I feel like
Willa want a cookie.
I literally just read a scientific article about. I mean, it was a summary of something.
Well, let me ask you this: like, give me a metaphor on how you see memory. Like, how do you think memory looks like? Yeah, give me a metaphor.
All I can think about is this article, and it talked about how like you're basically re-imprinting it every time you think about it.
Yeah,
that's a very good line. Like, I mean, most people would sit there and say like, "Oh, I see memory like a tape recorder, a VH recorder, where it's like I record it and I can just play it back." And it is not that at all. I mean, there have been scientific studies on this where it's like, nope, your memory can be affected by multiple different stimuli, different other kind of things. I went on to Psychology Today and an article written by Faith
Fake Bernie. News? What?
Faith Bernie, PhD.
Faith.
So not a real doctor. Not a real doctor.
Faith. Like faith.
Yeah, faith. Faith.
Okay, faith.
You've got to have faith. Faith.
Stop. Thank you, George Mike.
Stop. Yep. Scientists at the Cornell University told college students a story about a man who walked out on a restaurant bill. Half the participants were told that the man was a jerk who liked to steal. Oh. Half were told the man left without paying because he received an emergency phone call. 1 week later, the people who were told he was a jerk remembered a higher bill from 10 to 25% more than the bill actually was. Hmm. Those who were told he had an emergency phone call remembered a slightly lower than actual bill. They equated negative evaluations. The investigator David Pizarro equates negative evaluations, he concludes, are capable of exerting a distorting effect on memory.
That makes sense.
Yeah. It is even possible to remember something that never really happened. In one experiment, researchers showed volunteers images and asked them to imagine other images at the same time. Later, many of the volunteers recalled the imagined images as real. Using an MRI, the researchers were able to determine which parts of the brain formed the false memories and which formed the real ones. This is a quote from Northwestern University scientist Kenneth Paller. We think parts of the brain used to actually perceive an object and to imagine an object overlap. Thus, the vividly imagined event can leave a memory trace in the brain that's very similar to that of an experienced event. Hmm. So.
That makes sense because I remember seeing a photograph of my parents and it was like of a. It's like a little vaudeville show thing they went to. And I always remembered being there and seeing it as well. And they were like, no, this was like from the 70s. You weren't there.
We all have those kind of memories where we just like.
I don't think I'll do.
Well, not you, Ryan.
No, I seriously am trying to think.
I have the world's most reliable memory.
No, emotionally, you're a robot.
Well, I just. That probably helps.
But you don't know because you don't talk to your family about things. So you wouldn't know if your memories are true or false anyway.
No, he talks. I know that for experience.
Not to people the
people who were there. Yeah.
Right.
Like, who would know whether the memory is real or not.
I remember them setting Uncle Tim on fire and everybody just cheering.
That happened.
I don't know.
Well, they've done numerous other studies, too. Like, in MIT, they had a giant step forward explaining how external stimuli can distort mental representations to produce brand new, seemingly accurate, but completely false memories. Steve Ramirez. Steve! I couldn't help it. Couldn't help it. Steve. And his colleagues used a combination of optical and genetic techniques to control the activity of individual neurons in the brains of specifically bred experimental mice. Yeah. The researchers studied a group of brain cells in the
hippocampus. Hippocampus.
There's no S there.
Where are you?
Brain?
Hippocampal region.
Hippocampus
is the of the
mouse
brain.
Right. Of the mouse brain. They found that they could create false associations between events and environments by artificially stimulating the neurons. Hmm. When certain of the hippocampal cells were activated, mice remembered a shock in a place they had never been shocked.
Weird.
Specifically, Ramirez and his team identified particular cells that were activated by foot shocks in a particular environment. Then they moved the mice to another shock-free environment and stimulated those same neurons. This reactivation of the neurons that fired when the mice were shocked caused the mice to freeze, a natural response to fear. Even when no shock was given. So strong were the implanted false memories that the mice froze, even when the hippocampal cells were... The hippopotamus cells were stimulated. Yes.
This is like satanic panic.
Yeah, well, you know... But that goes to the thing, too, is like... Okay, so
I
like...
That is.
There's another article, too...
Well, explain what satanic panic is.
Oh, it's like back in the '80s when everyone thought
you hung out at a graveyard, you're a Satanist. Yeah,
like all these Satanist cults were popping up, and then like especially one school had all of these kids come forward saying that they were being like, I think it was molestation, but like also part of all these rituals, and it was down in this basement at the school, and like a bunch of teachers went to prison, only to find out years later that like none of this happened. The kids just kind of like formed these stories out of nowhere, and
you are totally hitting an all cylinders right now. You're right on there. I did read another article by CBS News in 2016 by Shanika Gunaratan.
Close enough.
Gunaratan?
Gunaratna?
Gunaratna. Yeah, Gunaratna.
Thank you.
Probably not right. The study demonstrated that about half of individuals will come to believe a fictional event occurred if they are told about that event and then repeatedly imagine it happening. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's like, so here we come to the main problem. And, you know, it's like, okay, so all our memories, we saw these people at a movie theater. It's like, honestly, the one person I keyed in on that documentary was Genevieve, where she was like, I remember as a kid being really scared and like being so stressed out that she remembers being there and seeing things being torn apart. But I can totally see how she could fictionalize that event. Like, stress is such a huge factor. Like, I could see them driving home from Virgil and like they probably drove through that storm. I cannot imagine them not driving through that storm. And, like, as a child, I mean, I did not like thunderstorms. It freaked me out. And so, like, you hide under the thing, you see the movie theater destroyed, and it just kind of, and then you see the newspaper stuff, and it just kind of molds itself.
And you saw the movie?
And you saw the movie.
And then eventually you saw the movie.
I mean, my parents were a big fan of, like, after a storm, driving around to see all the damage, so.
Well, your parents are sick and twisted.
They are sick and twisted. Yes. They were out, actually, like, Wisconsin's last biggest snowstorm. There was, like, a state of emergency, don't go out on the roads. And my sister is like, guess what mom and dad are doing right now? Driving around to look at all the snow. And I'm like, of course they are.
No offense to your parents. And I love them because they produced you. But there are certain situations where I go, you deserve what you get.
They made it all fine, but that's my parents.
Well, here's where this does become a bigger topic, like, just in general, is eyewitness testimony.
Oh, yeah.
For court cases. Like, eyewitness testimony has been leaned on. Like, I've got a couple cases here. In 1984, Kirk Bloodworth was convicted of rape and murder of a 9-year-old girl and sentenced to the gas chamber. Mm-hmm. An outcome that rested largely on the testimony of 5 eyewitnesses. 5. Not just one person that said, this is what happened. This is 5 people say this happened. After Bloodworth served 9 years in prison, DNA testing proved him to be innocent.
Of course. Yep.
He was proved to be innocent. He was like, I think you can speak more to this as well. I mean, it's like eyewitness testimony is not what it
is. I think the one of the most famous cases of late is the case that was the subject of the Netflix documentary Making a Murderer.
Yeah.
Which I think you've seen, right, mm-hmm. Celesta?
And yeah.
I haven't seen it.
The guy originally ended up in prison because this woman was attacked on, like, it was like on a beach or something. She was jogging. She was attacked, brutally, brutally attacked. And she described her assailant, and some of the local police kind of picked this guy out, knowing he was a troublemaker in town. And you know, that's one of the reasons, like, police lineups can be so bad if they're not done in exactly the right way, because it's, if you have a kind of a vague image of the person and then you're shown a picture of somebody who's like a little bit different, and it's very easy for that to now become your memory. Like, you now remember his face. And then when you go into court and they say, can you point out your attacker? You know, you have convinced yourself that it happened. And well, so and you then, very convincingly testified, that guy is the guy who attacked me.
And
the
guy cops arrested him. He must be the guy, right? Like, there must be other evidence. So, yes, well, I'm going to point out this person as...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, what's really interesting about about this eyewitness thing is that, like, they have done some tests and theories on this. Other tests have proven that eyewitnesses aren't as reliable as they claim to be, obviously. Especially when those eyewitnesses are older than the age 60. Mm. Go back to Hank and Marie. Hank and Marie, in that documentary, were the most vocal about, like, this is what happened.
Well, and they were the only ones who were, like, adults at the time. Right. You know, both there. Like, both of them. So it's not... You know, yeah. One of them could have easily said, no, no, Hank, the movie theater, actually, we went there, but then they didn't show the theater, they didn't and show the movie because the power went out right. And we just went home, right. You know, or whatever. I mean, but they both remembered it and they remembered it in detail. And yep. It was like.
So in a study at the University of Virginia, participants between the ages of 60 and 80 performed far worse than college age students, which is not that surprising given aging eyesight. But the study revealed another startling find. The older the witnesses were, almost more adamant. They were all almost more adamant and confident in their wrong answers. Crushy they were like,
Republican!
This is how it is! I don't think we need to get into, like, that's Republicans. I just think we can say that's all old people. And they're old
Most of whom are
Republicans. No, there's old Democrats. Come on, people. There's old Libertarians, too.
Not very many.
No.
They get killed.
They die from drug use.
Yeah.
Oh, drug use. Okay, good. I was like, are we getting some conspiracy thing here? Like,
on the next episode of Verbal Disturbance. Yeah.
Dun, dun, dun. Yeah. So, I mean, it's just like, I think memory, they've proven memory can be affected very easily. There's other studies, too, where they were like, they showed people, like, pictures and told them a story. And then they re-interviewed those people, and they were able to tell the story because, like, the visual imagery played off of that. And I just think, I mean, memory's a fragile thing.
Yeah.
It's like, I mean...
And imagine how if it's a traumatic memory.
Yes, stress is a huge factor. You would think it would be
a more reliable memory, but in fact, it's less reliable because Absolutely. There's all these external factors.
Yeah.
We just had an incident at work, and this reminds me very much of that because it was sort of traumatic for people, and like it had just happened, and we were just talking about it, and then our stories were all like, oh, our stories are kind of changing, but it's like, well, I think this is... We're like, what happened?
Yeah, tell the story, damn it.
Well, it's, you can't dangle that out.
I mean, a girl blew up at work. She accused me and another coworker of trying to kick her ass and get her fired.
You tried to beat her up?
We did not. I definitely remember we did not try to kick her ass. We did not try to hurt her in any way. I wasn't even back there at the time where she, like, started screaming and ran out of the building. But yeah.
Did somebody, not you, I'm sorry. Did somebody let a dog loose on her or something?
Nothing happened to her. Oh,
she just got upset.
Are you sure?
She was having a bad day. Oh, and then next thing I know, she's texting, she ran out of the building, she's texting our manager saying that a coworker and I went back there, we were going to kick her ass, so she got scared and ran out of the building. None of that was true.
Wow.
But...
Well, and see, and now this comes into what I do for a living. I'm an attorney. I do in labor and employment law, and these are the types of cases. Yeah. These are, well, when she sues your right. your employer, you just call me up. I will take care of it. But so many of the employees that I deal with on the other side of a case that are suing their employer are... very much convinced of what has happened to them. And in many cases anytime somebody tells a story with a lot of detail in it, you're more likely to believe them, especially when the detail really doesn't matter to the story.
Right.
Mm-hmm. See, that's when I don't believe people. Well, that's when I'm like,
I mean,
you're
and
giving
that's,
up useless information. Yeah.
But I think this is a really interesting concept to bring into it because it's like, you know, you can, I mean, if you listen to the people in the documentary, like, they told that level of detail where it was like, oh, like, why would they have that memory if it didn't happen, right. You know? But the bottom line is, you know, it can become something that you truly believe.
Right. Oh, absolutely.
And therefore, you are very convincing when you tell it, but it can nonetheless be complete bullshit. Yeah. So.
Well, I mean, that's part of the reason why interrogation methods are like, they sit there and they will go in and ask you, okay, let's start from the beginning. All right. Where were you on July 12th at midnight? It's like, oh, You've gone through this 7 times.
Well, and that's part of Meathead and Murderer too, is they drilled this kid, this like 16-year-old developmentally disabled kid over and over again, like to where he finally, changed the story.
Okay, but I totally believe they killed that chick.
Well, that's a story.
You totally believe what?
Yeah, they killed her, for sure.
I have not seen Making a Murderer. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I have not seen it. I mean, I have not seen it, so. But
yes, they can implant memories.
If you ask somebody, like, I agree. There is a point to trying to find out if somebody's lying by asking them to repeat a story numerous times. Especially if it's a story where it's, like, takes part for an extensive period of time. It's like, if I'm telling Ryan a story that is like, dude, last night, oh my god. Okay, so at 9 o'clock, and I'm telling him a story all the way to 3 in the morning. And then he asks me again, like 2 or 3 more times. And I tell the same story. I'm like, there's a line. There's got to be a line where it's like, okay, all right, you've done it enough.
But wouldn't this whole theory that you're talking about tell us that the story could evolve?
Absolutely. Like,
without it being untrue, without you making it up, because other things are suggestions.
The beauty of it, well, that's actually, I'm glad you said that. And I think this is a great way to wrap this up. This is a perfect way to wrap this up. Because here's the thing. The reporter, John Law, was like, he sat there and he was just like, he was talking about like, you know, I wasn't there. I didn't hear it, but I interviewed enough people. And he's like, I can totally see how this story got expanded. At the beginning of this episode, I told you guys that this is a story. They were showing the scene in Twister and blah, 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 blah. It obviously never happened. But he started expanding on the fact that it's like, yeah, you know, every urban legend starts with some truth. That it's like a tornado did hit a drive-in theater, but it started going on. And like they even interviewed a professor of psychology who was saying like, yeah, you know, your memory is not a tape recorder. And your memory can be affected by how people react to that memory. Like, if you get, like, rewards for telling a story, you might expound on it. Like, if I told Ryan the story, like, Ryan, dude, I was at this drive-in. Dude, I was watching this movie, Twister, and a Twister tore up the theater. And you were like, what? That's amazing. And then I go to a dinner where Celesta and Ryan are there. And Celesta's like, Ryan told me this crazy story. And I'm like, I knew I got such a great reaction from Ryan. I'm like, oh man, I need to make this even better when I'm telling Celesta. So I start saying, hey, Celesta, all right.
Yeah,
so
this sounds like you every day.
Yeah.
We're not ending on that.
Yes, we are.
Come on. Point being is that people expound on stories based on reactions they get.
They like good stories.
They like a good story. They like a good fish tale. It keeps going on and on and on. So where can they hear from us? From now on, and on.
It goes on and on.
Facebook, Verbal Distillery. Instagram, Verbal Distillery. Twitter, Verbal Distiller. Email us at gmail or verbaldistillery@gmail.com.
Yep. Hook us up. Hook
us up.
You up. I don't know. Do something. Y'all just sitting on your frickin' duffuses.
Hey, I don't, like, let's not yell at them.
No, let them yell at people. I have no
give us some hate mail.
Yeah.
Tell us we suck.
Can someone please just send Ryan?
You suck. Tell us why we suck.
Yeah.
I never check our emails, so there could be like 100 in there.
Yeah, so don't send us an email. Hook us up. Hook us up. I keep saying that.
All right. Can I finally say this? Finally, after a few weeks of not being able to say this?
I guess.
Yes.
You've heard it. You can't unhear it.
Yeah.